Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. Thanks for joining us here on the radio network, the American Voice Radio Network. It is a great network to be on. Thank you, Frank. All right, we are going to be talking about hospital survival guide. If you got to go to the hospital, what do I do? Well, we got some guidelines for you. Also, we're going to be talking about your instincts, and also things that are overestimated, so you can reduce your risk there. So we've got lots to talk about and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them up in prayer. Hope you are too. I'm lifting all this nation up in prayer. I'm praying for righteous leadership. I say it over and over and over again. And, you know, and I think the only way we're going to get this righteous leadership, if we pray it in and seek the Lord's face, you know, hitting the knees, you know, intently, sincerely seeking righteousness and truth, because that's what we're supposed to plead him for, according to Isaiah 59. So, I hope you'll mind the time, because I think it grows short, and we need to get back on track. And this is a Christian nation, right? Praise the Lord. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, what's up in the quacker? Let's see. New study. Nothing new, though. Lawyers have the lowest health and well-being rating among white-collar workers. Yep, they say, according to the new research, those that are working in law have the highest are the highest abusers of alcohol and nicotine. This is a report from PsychSafe. They say that they looked at 800 professionals, and 370 of them were lawyers from firms and from the bar. 170 lawyers who also in the mix were working for the government or in-house counsel. What they found, their findings suggested that lawyers who work for law firms have the lowest psychological and psychosomatic health and well-being. The study also found that lawyers were twice as likely to use and abuse substances compared to other professionals. So, more likely to experience unhealthy behaviors as well. The workplace environment at law firms and anywhere in general that include the law includes verbal abuse, mistreatment, bullying, competition, of course, sexual harassment, according to the study. Well, they're lawyers. You think they'd know better, right? Now, according to the study, the perpetrators that were creating those toxic environments were men in powerful positions that, you know, just took advantage of underlings. Report was found that most mistreatment was unreported because they were most likely going to face negative consequences if they spoke up. Yep. And let's see. Last but not least in the quack report, FDA is using the animal rule to approve the anthrax vaccine for humans. Have you heard about that? Right. The FDA has dramatically expanded the permitted uses of the anthrax vaccine since post 9/11, you know, because of the Bioterrorism Act of 2002. So there's a clause in the act known as the animal rule that allows the FDA to bypass human studies of drugs in case there is exposure to humans to a disease or toxin, you know, which, you know, it would be unfeasible to do human testing on a drug. So the rule is extended for highly lethal diseases like anthrax or Ebola. It does not necessarily have to be limited to disease that may be used as biological weapons. So the animal rule has only been evoked 9 times before and never for a vaccine. Most uses of the animal rule were involved approving new antibiotics to treat anthrax or plague. 2 uses involved approving drugs to treat people following nuclear incidents, and 1 involved a new treatment for botulism toxin. Now, the FDA actually first approved of the anthrax vaccine, which is manufactured by Emergent BioSolutions in 1970, but it was only used to protect people that were at high risk of anthrax exposure. So the new approval now allows the vaccine to be given to people age 18 to 65 that are known or suspected to have already come in contact with anthrax bacteria. So the vaccine should be given, in addition, they say, according to CC, to the antibiotics. So you're going to get antibiotics and the vaccine. How lovely for the immune system. So to justify the approval, this is how they went about it. Without the human studies, researchers decided that 70% of the survival rate of rabbits they infected constitutes a reasonable level of protection for humans. So the vaccine, according to the FDA, concluded, should be just as safe and effective on humans as it was in rabbits, although the so-called animal rule suggesting that only animal tests are done. In fact, humans are also going to be tested because that's what it is. It's a live human trial test on the public. How long is it going to take? Let's just ask this question. How long is it going to take for anthrax to sneak into your annual flu vaccine, like bird flu and whatever else is in there? I'm just asking. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about the hospital survival guide. Do you have one? If you got to go, you might want to have one, you know, just in case, you know, something unforeseen happens. You know, if there's trauma in a car accident, you know, just, you know, fall off a ladder. Hey, it's good to have something so family can help you. Well, you know, I came across this article by Consumer Reports that kind of spoke about the risks that are associated with someone entering the hospital as a patient. So the article didn't include the risks that healthcare professionals also take now with the vaccine agenda making flu shots mandatory for pay compensation. But the article did mention the maze of regulations that patients, friends, and family members have to observe while in a hospital environment. So it was it kind of referenced the hospital environment as, quote, being thrust into a foreign country, end of quote. So today many people pretty much care less about things, including if you understand their rules and procedures. This does not help patients heal if they believe the staff is there only to punch the time clock. But there are, however, a few healthcare professionals, caregivers, that do their best. They care about their work while also trying to maneuver around the complexity of hospital regulations and federal laws. So we're going to check in and see if we have an update on our risks with regard to going to the hospital. Well, what could be the major risk if you got to go? Well, according to the Consumer Reports, one of the biggest threats to hospital patients isn't their disease, if they're sick, or a hospital-acquired disease, which tends to infect 722,000 annually, according to the CDC, but it is the prescribed drugs and the prescription errors that are the main problem. Other risks are hospital-acquired infections, surgical mistakes, drug side effects, and human error. So reports indicate that these risks affect 1 in 4 hospital patients. Now, an elderly hospital patient is at a much higher risk, according to the Consumer Reports. So if you're over 65, and you're going to be at a higher risk of dying while at the hospital, with their reports citing 180,000 hospital deaths a year if you're over 65. Well, let's look at the hospitals, because people go to the hospital because they're sick, not realizing that the hospital is also sick. According to the Archives of Internal Medicine, they did a 2010 to 2011 study, found that approximately 50,000 reported hospital deaths are due to a disease the patients acquired during their stay. And this number is significantly lower than the report published by the U.S. Center for Disease Control Prevention, citing 75,000 deaths. So according to Dr. Louise Chang, she says hospital-acquired disease kills 3 times more Americans each year than HIV. So what is really shocking is that modern medicine has estimates and not real numbers, which is thought to be much higher. So doctors and scientists have been analyzing hospital data going back to 98 through 2006, and it involved over 69 million Americans admitted to hospitals in the U.S. And what they discovered is that most of the hospital-acquired infections came from dirty hospital equipment like catheters and ventilators. They also found the disease from these sources were a span of common bacterial pathogens like pneumonia and also new drug-resistant bacteria pathogens like MRSA. So according to John Hopkins researcher Dr. Peter Provenos, he says with strict hygiene procedure and safety checklists from all hospital employees, their tests showed that hospital-induced infections can drop to zero. So according to Dr. Ramanan Lexamirin, he's PhD, he says we're only beginning to get a handle on the size of this problem. And according to Dr. Peter Provenos, now he's a medical doctor at the Adult Critical Care Unit, John Hopkins, he says this: these deaths are invisible. The public doesn't know. They are happening one at a time, silently, and patients think they are inevitable. But we know from our large patient studies, this is not the case. So all that dying is preventable, according to Dr. Peter Provenost. Okay, well, let's look at the types of silent killers he's talking about. The types of silent killer infections patients tend to pick up at their hospital are going to be blood infections and respiratory infections and skin infections. So sometimes it's urinary tract infections, too, by the way. Now, Dr. Provenost's study showed that hospitals are not doing enough to keep patients healthy and safe, and he suggests that people should investigate the hospital's infection rating. He said if the hospital does not keep track to offer a rating, or if the rating is over 1 in 1,000, he says go somewhere else. So he feels that patients should expect their hospital offer minimal risk, if any, because the diseases patients acquire there, he says, are preventable. All right? Now, the CDC states that 1 in 25 patients will get a hospital-acquired infection, but Dr. Provenost also recommends that patients and family members question everything until they receive an adequate and truthful answer. There you go. Provenost also goes on to say a healthcare system that doesn't address your concerns is a risky one. All right, so let's go down the list. We got a list. I've got something to write with, fine. If you do require going to the hospital, there is a strategy that you can actively implement to take and lessen your risk. Here's the list. Okay, here we go. You want to get the hospital safety ratings, as Dr. Provenost suggested, including their infection rating. So you can check your hospital's ratings against nationwide hospitals. There's like 3,000 major hospitals nationwide, and see how the hospital you're looking at stacks up nationwide. Now, before the hospital admission, you should understand your healthcare policy and what is covered and what is not. You want to pay close attention to any federal law requirements that will impact your insurance. You want to be aware of the rules that doctors must follow in order for your stay to fall within the insurance guidelines, because doctors don't usually pay attention to those details, and it could cost you a lot of out-of-pocket money. For example, if you go to the hospital and you're just, quote, under observation, that's totally different, and it's not an actual patient admission, and insurance companies don't pay for under observation. That comes out of the patient's pocket, so they're not going to pay for that stay. So you got to be careful about that. Also, you want to check the hospital's rating online. And, you know, get on some blogs, see if patients offer any feedback, because, you know, these days people offer free advice and opinion on everything, from restaurants to resorts, so why not hospitals? See if there are any posts regarding the bedside manner of the hospital staff and how well the hospital staff communicates with each other and with patients. You know, was the hospital clean or was it too noisy? Look for that kind of thing. So if there is time before the hospital admission, before you have to go, you might want to meet with your doctor and write down what is discussed, such as your treatment plan your doctor may have in mind. You want to get a list of drugs that may be given. You want to find out what tests plan to be used and how long the stay will be. You want to also ask what could go wrong, as most procedures and tests do have foreseen circumstances. Most hospitals and doctors don't volunteer this information unless you ask about it. It's also a good idea to conclude your fact-finding session with a direct question to your doctor, which is there anything else I need to know about my treatment or hospital stay? So it may also be prudent to bring a voice-activated tape recorder with you. All right, now check to see if the drugs that will be used, that your doctor tells you he's going to use, have any conflict with each other or any over-the-counter medicine or supplements you may be taking, because you'd be surprised how many doctors and pharmacists don't check this. You want to get all the generic names of all your drugs as well, because this could significantly reduce the drug adverse events, because you want to also check for drug duplicates. Also, try to avoid being admitted during weekends or holidays as there is fewer staff on hand. Research suggests that patients receive reduced post-operative care during weekends and holidays. So depending on your procedure and your age, you want to check to see if there's any increased risk for stroke or heart attack and discuss that with your doctor, because some procedures, like knee replacement, for instance, offer a higher risk of getting blood clots. This information is going to help you determine your risk assessment while in the hospital and for the next decade. Okay, so next up, hospitals tend to charge what they want for services, especially private hospitals, so you want to check to make sure the cost of the treatment is within the usual customary fees charged by healthcare providers. Because if your hospital charges $10,000 more for a procedure, your insurance company may not cover that because they'll consider it excessive cost. Also, arrange for transportation, as you know, and someone to assist you at home after you get discharged. And most people don't even consider preparing a living will or living trust before entering the hospital. Now, a living trust is going to alleviate the probate court involvement, if that's what you want. Having documents listing also your healthcare proxy should be prepared and executed before your admission. So in the event you are incapacitated or have complications like coma, the proxy can step in on your behalf and make medical decisions for you. And this will make sure, this is going to make sure you won't receive any unnecessary treatments or prolonged care that you do not want. All right, you want to plan ahead, possibly donate your own blood for your procedure. This can reduce the risk of bloodborne disease via transfusions. And you may also wish to be screened for infectious disease, such as MRSA, pneumonia, staph, and other pathogens resistant to antibiotics, because this is going to help the hospital staff plan if you are infected. But it also will prove, without a doubt, if your infection was pre-hospital stay or not. So when packing for your stay, bring your personal items for comfort, but do not bring any valuables. Check your paperwork once you've been admitted. If you do not want extraordinary measures, if you should experience cardiac arrest, this should be on your chart, your patient chart, and on your wristband. Check for any misspellings on your admission documents. And you want to have the surgeon, if you're having surgery, have the surgeon sign his initials on the surgery site prior for you going wheeled off into surgery. This helps to avoid surgical mistakes in the OR. Let me tell you, I worked for neurosurgeons, and I once had a neurosurgeon throw a phone across the room. He ripped it off the wall because he made an incision at the wrong end of the spine because the x-ray was displayed upside down, and he made the incision in the wrong end. So get the surgeon to – the surgeon will also get to know who you are, too. That's a good idea. All right, so you want to be alert for any unnecessary tests or consults ordered by medical staff. Sometimes these extra fees can sneak into your treatment. Dr. Andrew Saul, he's the author of Hospitals and Health, he states that surgery is a very overused option and patients should research their alternatives. Oh, yeah, so, I mean, let's say, for instance, you have a little stomach upset, you can't keep anything down, first thing you know, you may see, you know, an order for, you know, a digestive, you know, surgeon, you know, who's going to do exploratory surgery on your whole digestive tract. You got to watch for stuff like that. You want to watch also the pain relief protocol, okay? Pain medications can be addictive, and too much can slow recovery. Too little can prolong your stay with uncontrolled pain. So this is a situation where too little and too much pain medication can extend a hospital stay. And lastly, you want to ambulate as soon as you can to increase your circulation and reduce your risk of blood clots. It also helps to prevent bed sores and the risk of contracting pneumonia. So little tips there. I'm sure the list could be added too, but that's some of the highlights. So there is a predictive analysis in all this. You may wonder what your odds are of successfully coming home from the hospital. Well, there is plenty of data that will help you to figure that out. according to statistical analysis, 15% more patients admitted to the hospital die on the weekends because they tend to be chronically ill or critically injured, and there are fewer services due to a lighter staff. This really doesn't make sense that, you know, the days of the week where we're most likely to be in a serious car accident are on the weekends when there are fewer hospital staff working. How does hospital administrators not know this? Right? Here's a quote from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They say, clearly, the later hours of the weekend prove to be the deadliest. Late afternoon to evening tend to be the riskiest times for driving during the week. So, drive time during the week, your commute time in the afternoon, risky, but deadliest time, weekends. If you get admitted to the hospital on the weekend, 15% higher risk factor. So if you got surgery, make sure you get it during the week if you can plan it ahead. If you got to have it, right? So here's a proactive lesson, right? The lesson is, you know, to be as proactive as you can to avoid a hospital stay. And if you must enter the hospital, do your homework, prepare to protect yourself. And hospitals are quite aggressive when it comes to payment. So you want to do everything you can to protect your health and assets, especially if there is a denial of your claim from your insurance company. Because health insurance companies are skillful in the art of tying up your payment on your claim, and hospitals make it clear that regards to your insurance, you know, they're going to be paid on time. You know, if they have a limited time frame, they're going to be paid. So you're on the hook regardless of what insurance does. And many a patient have lost their cars, home, and bank accounts due to unpaid hospital bills. How do I know this? I used to work in medicine. I used to work in some billing for anesthesia groups, and you would be amazed. Blue Cross Blue Shield back in the 80s was the worst. They just hope you give up and go away. Many patients have, experienced that. So get everything in writing with a date stamp from your insurance company prior to your admission and having any procedures done, you know, that they'll cover it. Probably, you know, nail them down to, you know, what's the customary cost that you're going to cover to get that to. Well, here's my plan. My plan's pretty simple. Aside from accidental trauma, I plan to avoid the hospital and improve my odds of avoiding the hospital with cleansing my organs of toxins and strengthening my immune system. Because, you know, cleansing is painless, and it offers me a level of health insurance no healthcare provider can give me. So it is much easier and less expensive to maintain my original organs than to seek surgical options. So if you want to learn more or to order organic body cleanses and to boost your immune system, call Apothecary Herbs. Their number is... That's right, you just call. See, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. Of course, they do have a website, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there, type in herbtalklive.com as well. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Get you a free product catalog. And if you're on the website, sign up for the newsletters. They go out each week, and you'll empower yourself more. That's right. I know. It's bottom of the hour, so I know I got to take a break. I am going to do that and come back with more empowering news. We'll be right back. Like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a bishop on a hook, like a knife from some old-fashioned book, I have faith for my river, for a holy.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk, and I'm your herbalist Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about your instincts now, because you've got some, and they're going to help you out when it comes to being proactive. Trial and error has been really man's school for the longest time. Whatever you want to call it, instincts have guided mankind down through the centuries. Sometimes it's been the best teacher. And we can rely on our instincts a lot of times when we're dealing also with our own health. So when we depend on science to tell us what we are feeling or how our body should be functioning, sometimes we can rely on that and sometimes we can't. So science even has gone through trial and error as well. That's what their experiments are about. So if you believe you have instincts, Well, the animal kingdom has instincts. They have survival mechanisms built right into their species. Humans have instincts, too. We have a higher level of reasoning. So you would think that this would make humans smarter than animals. And let's just say that we are. So let's look at the grizzly bear. It's wild. It's impressive. It's strong. It's vital. It's healthy. Put that bear in captivity, he gets cancer. Why? Well, the human higher level of reasoning changed the bear's habitat and his diet. He got bear chow instead of foraging for berries. So, you know, that's not smart. That's not dealing with how the bear should be living and how we should be treating the bear. So instincts are important. So instinct really is an untaught ability, according to Alexander Bain. He was a Scottish philosopher in the 1900s. But you actually know more than you think you do. I had a conversation with a 30-year-old mother, has four boys, and she said that the number of minor ailments they all endured was getting to her, all of which she really has the power to correct, but she just didn't think she did. Okay, so a lot of people get brainwashed into thinking that, you know, they blindly have to obey and follow what, you know, medical science or what the network news is saying. But medical science is not infallible, and it is in the business to cure, not to cure, but to manage your disease. So that's, keep that in mind. It is a business. So there is really no financial future for medical science if everybody is well. Think about it. So they give you the illusion of well by managing or minimizing your symptoms so you can live with your problem. That's not wellness. That's not a cure. That's not health. No, no. So you have the ability, if you got the disease, you have the ability to help your body reverse that disease. Sometimes it just needs more nutrition. Sometimes it needs a blockage, a burden lifted from the body. So there's some things that we can do to help each other. Now, once the mother of four that I was talking to realized that, you know, the body is trying to tell her things. You know, like, for instance, she'd get headaches. What triggered the headache? Probably the monthly cycle. She was able to address the monthly cycle, and therefore, guess what? Headaches went away. See? So she learned to observe and listen to her body and to see what clues it was giving her so she could step in the right direction as to a resolution. A lot of times the female herbs, when they come together, they balance the female endocrine system, get rid of the cycle imbalance, and therefore hormones become, you know, in line and balanced, and then you don't have neurotransmitters and problems in the head area. All right, so the herbs are not hormones, though. They're just nutrition to feed the endocrine system that makes the hormones. So there's a big difference between herbs that do that and, you know, artificial hormone replacement drugs. Don't confuse the two. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "A few strong instincts and a few plain rules suffice us." Yeah, way to go, Ralph. All right, so why wasn't this lady I mentioned on hormonal drug therapy? Maybe you're asking that question. Well, she did her homework first. She saw that the artificial hormone drugs encouraged side effects, a secondary induced drug disease, and she didn't want that. So pushed up her risks of getting a disease she didn't want. And you can look these drug-induced diseases up in your physician desk reference, also known as a PDR. Every library has one. So you can go there. Or you can look it up online as well. So when you're prescribed a medication, you can look it up and see all the information, including manufacturer warning on the medicine as well, because your pharmacist can't print all that out. There's just not enough room on that paper. So you might want to just, you know, get you a PDR. Sometimes you can get used ones at book sales. Libraries sometimes update their PDRs and they sell the old one. So you could do that. So if you're looking up, let's say, the estrogen drug fledglin in your PDR, you're going to find that the chemistry there, how it's administered, the warnings, your medicine contradiction, side effects, and For instance, it would say something like this. This is the actual listing. Estrogen drug overdose symptoms, acute overdose of this phlogen may manifest itself by the following signs and symptoms: unusual restlessness, confusion, belligerence, hallucinations, panic attacks, fatigue, depression, cardiovascular problems like arrhythmias, high or low blood pressure, circulatory collapse, and that's not good, gastrointestinal problems like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal cramps, poisoning, convulsions, coma, and of course death. Yeah, this drug. You know, I just can't see why people use that stuff. But anyway, so people, when they start seeing the risk, the true risk involved, the drug sometimes is far, the risk far outweighs, you know, the problem they would be taking it for. So, you know, get your hormones balanced with some straight up nutrition. Herbs are packed full of nutrition. Medicinal herbs, definitely, bitter ones especially, are going to really supercharge that system and get balanced in a skinny minute. So that's why a lot of your bitter herbs are your medicinal herbs. So some of the female herbs that I tend to like to use are hops, wild jam, licorice, vitex berries, also known as chaste tree berry, demania leaf, and dong quai root, all of which are cultivated now in the United States, and you can get them organically grown. Those are the six female herbs I use, and it typically helps the system heal itself. So there you go. If you're looking for formulas with those six herbs, and you can definitely check out the powerherbs.com website and check under the female tab. Okay, so you want to do your homework, take responsibility for your health, because that's your responsibility according to the Creator. Okay, I mean, you can't pay people enough to care that much about your health and what you care about you. So for, you know, a few dollars, you can get that balance. You can forget about, you know, all the expensive tests, the blood work taken, the fingerprints, the smear analysis, all these side effects and secondary drug-induced diseases that you can get from medications when you do your homework and are proactive. So if you're looking for a way to cleanse and nourish your system, remove burdens of toxin, blockages so the body can repair, then check out thepowerherbs.com, because they have a full line of organ cleansing products. And they do have immune boosting as well as some other things. So give them a call, 866-229-3663. They'll send you a free product catalog. And empower yourself. Educate yourself. And, you know, you'd be amazed what you can do with, you know, nutrition, dietary change, and some super-duper powerful medicinal herbs. I call them the power herbs. That's what I like. All right. We're going to talk about things that are grossly underestimated. More and more people are recognizing the importance of self-empowerment. So a helping hand from a friend is a desired thing, a trusted friend. It's desired. You know, but getting assistance from a government, what's that? Well, people are realizing that they are more powerful than they thought, and they're letting go of the nanny state. So as they reduce the government intrusion in their lives, they are discovering new abilities, new connections, and the alternative lifestyle, which, you know, is a real health boost, lots of benefits there. It frees them up. No shallow promises offered, you know, and they can sidestep a lot of the expensive medications from the drug companies. So folks are empowering themselves and are utilizing powerful tools which have been grossly underestimated. So what is even more surprising is that health insurance companies like United Healthcare are telling their members that health experts say the power of health and wellness includes herbs and spices. Get out, right? So obviously interest in medicinal herbs is on the rise. And it isn't just health insurance companies and the common folk that are interested. Pharmaceutical companies are looking at herbs, too, for making their newest drugs. So they're back to the herbs, full circle, bam. And let's take a look at what folks are doing and help empower themselves. Well, over across the pond in the UK, people are using therapies, natural therapies, because the wait time is so long through their, you know, socialized one-payer healthcare system by licensed doctors. It's, you know, a long wait. So they've learned how to sidestep disease in most cases using some natural things. And sometimes they have to go to extraordinary means to get them if it's not available in their country. We here at Apothecary Herbs, we have quite a few British customers. And the organ cleansing and the immune boost and stuff, barely seen over there. They have to come here and ship it over. So if the order is under a certain amount of money through customs, they can pass it in, no problem. So that's what they're doing. So obviously there's a lot of interest, and people are looking at the herbs. People in the UK who don't even have some of the stuff that you have here in the United States, they're doing it. People in Canada, same thing. They've learned how to, you know, be proactive for themselves. One of the leading experts on herbs in the UK is McAvar, and she says this: we are what we eat. We don't doubt that fruits and vegetables, seeds and nuts contain a range of vitamins, minerals, and cancer-fighting properties, yet the nutrition content and medicinal properties of herbs are often overlooked. And there's been a lot of scientific analysis done on your whole foods compared to even vitamin supplements that are synthetic, and the whole foods nutrition far outweighs the synthetic stuff, no matter how many units you're taking, because the whole food stuff has other uptake minerals that's necessary for the body to utilize it. All right, so as the years go by, the truth about a lot of allopathic treatments, especially for cancer, showing up, you know, people are noticing that there's problems there. Many respected doctors are now saying that the treatments modern medicine promotes for cancer, although profitable, basically have 100% mortality rate. So it is really no surprise that doctors who are diagnosed with cancer are turning to nutrition and foods instead of chemo. Now, Dr. Winston Craig, he's a professor of nutrition at Andrews University here in the U.S., he says that you want lots of foods with flavonoids paired with natural vitamin C to magnify the power of the flavonoids to negate the oxidative free radical stress causing your cancer. So it's whole foods working together, not a bunch of synthetic stuff. So he recommends foods that are rich in flavonoids and vitamin C. So things like milk thistle, if you're looking at herbs, milk thistle, thyme, rosemary, onions, garlic, dandelion root, sage, chamomile, green tea, beetroot, lots of minerals there, helps the blood. And he goes on to say that you want to prevent, if you want to prevent tumors, you want herbs that contain phytochemicals known as terpenoids, and they're very powerful antioxidants. And he says those attack the tumors. And he adds that herbs like fennel, peppermint, coriander, basil, carmenon, and lemongrass are very helpful in that respect. So, okay, so let's say, you know, we have a reduction in infrastructure. What are we going to do? So if you face maybe some long-term power outages, you could turn to herbs to help, you know, preserve your foods. You know, you don't have a refrigerator that's able to preserve your foods anymore, or a freezer. So long before GE made refrigerators, people relied on herbs to keep their food from spoiling too quickly. So root cellars were also used to keep foods cool. Hunters would use thyme to thyme herb, T-H-Y-M-E, to help tenderize game and preserve the meat. Thyme added this vibrant color to the meat, but also has antibacterial properties in it to preserve the meat, help also when you ate it, it helped with digestion. And some really good herbs to have on hand then in this respect would be sage, rosemary, bay leaves, and thyme. And here you thought it was just, you know, tenderizer and, you know, some sort of meat rub the ancients used. There was a reason for that. It wasn't just to make the meat tasty, right? All right, so at some point you may run into a situation where you have to have self-treating care. In the good old days, people really didn't have money to pay city physicians or have the ability to travel to the big city to go to the hospital. So they became experts in self-treating things like colds and infections. Mothers and grandmothers would apply tea bags to treat pink eye, chaparral oil for itchy skin, clove, garlic, and mullein oil to deal with earaches, and mustard packs on the chest to break up congestion. Now, it's highly doubtful that, you know, generation after generation would continue to use things that didn't work, that were ineffective, right? That's just not common sense. That's just stupid, right? Well, our ancestors did what they did to preserve health. They knew herbs also helped to preserve health and would use, you know, immune-boosting herbs like garlic and onion, thyme, ginkgo, and echinacea root, just to name a few. They often did not know why these herbs help to heal or prevent disease, but many herbs have built-in anti-inflammatory action or antimicrobial protection and antifungal properties in them. They may not have known that, but they knew from generation to generation, this is what you use when you got the croup, this is what you use when you got the whooping cough. They didn't know why, they just knew it worked. So many immune-stimulating herbs will help the human immune system produce lots of lymphocytes, which are made from your white blood cells. These are like white blood cells that go around in your bloodstream gobbling up all the infection. Think of it as Pac-Man, bam, 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 just gobbling up all that shouldn't be there. So these lymphocytes, by the way, your blood makes continuously while you're sick because they have a lifespan of one day, and then they're replaced with new ones. Well, how about if you have a problem with cholesterol? Our ancestors usually didn't have to worry about cholesterol problems. They didn't have labs to tell them their cholesterol was too high. But they did have herbs that helped naturally keep their cholesterol in balance. So the foods which they ate, they had red, pink, purple, or blue pigments. Those are the foods they ate, which contain anthocyanins to promote and balance good cholesterol. So you want to add some rose hips, you can magnify that action if you want. For healthy hearts, they ate lots of garlic, onions, and hawthorn berries. So if you want cholesterol that works, load up the diet, they say, with foods that have red, pink, purple, or blue pigments. Obviously, you know, fruits and vegetables. All right, now what about diabetics? Well, health agencies are recommending that folks with diabetes consume cinnamon for its polyphenols that help work similar to insulin in controlling blood sugar levels. Now, some studies suggest using a quarter to a half a teaspoon of cinnamon twice a day to lower glucose, cholesterol, and triglycerides by about 30%. Then I would add some juniper berries. Juniper or Monosperma, very good for more power and helping the body balance that. And then what if you have need for herbs for your brain? Well, the folks at the mindunleashed.org suggest some herbs for that to improve memory, cognitive functions. Many herbs can be combined to magnify power, such as ginseng and periwinkle. Research from England at the University of Tyne suggests that this combination excellent for those that have ADHD or ADD. Another herb is guticola. It's known for its adaptogen action, and it helps boost your overall brain function. It's very helpful at improving the information processing receptors and the synaptic activity, so you have, you know, quick thinking. So this herb also may be the answer to maybe the dumbing down syndrome we have here in America. Now, rosemary and ginkgo biloba together, very excellent pair that you could add a little cayenne for circulatory, for more action and delivery of the nutrients to the brain area where it's needed. The University of Northumbria in the UK area reported that rosemary improves our ability to carry out mental tasks and people score higher on tests. They think it is a chemical in rosemary called 8-methylphenidate phenol that provides this benefit. So their research appeared in the Journal of Therapeutic Advances in Psychopharmacology. You can check it out there. The ginkgo biloba is known to help regenerate the brain cells, and it's especially helpful for those who have been subjected to taking a lot of blood thinning drugs, and they don't use these drugs, you know, normally with your ginkgo. They just ginkgo is really great, but in order to get to the brain, you need rosemary and cayenne to get it there. So if you've been using ginkgo tablets or capsules and no improvement, that's the reason. It has to jump on that circulation bus called cayenne and get to the brain. I know. People are amazed when they just add that other herb, what happens. All right, also the Greeks know a thing or two. It appears that there's a whole lot of power in herbs that we can tap into without needing a prescription. The Greek word for power is dunamis, and it is where the English term dynamite comes from. So as far as healing opportunities go, herbs have more power than most people think. So where people tend to go wrong using their medicinal herbs is they mix them with over-the-counter or prescription drugs, causing an absorption problem and maybe a metabolism conflict. So you want to do your homework on that. Or maybe they're too impatient and they don't give the herbs time to work. A lot of times, you know, it took you a while to get an imbalance. It's going to take you a little while to get back in balance. Rule of thumb, anywhere from 1 to 3 months. If you try a natural therapy, give it that much time. So if you're interested in, you know, learning how to boost the brain, you might want to look at the brain concentrate formula. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that with the ginkgo and the rosemary and the cayenne in there. They also have, if you need help with panic attacks or depression, they have some herbs that help take the edge off of that without sedating you, so it doesn't impair your coordination and there's no addictive effect. You've got choices at helping balance your metabolism and getting more nutrition into the system, improving digestion. I mean, it's endless. It keeps going because the body's all connected. I was just talking to someone today about the electrolytes. Oh, the electrolytes help all your glands and your organs communicate with one another for balance. And without those electrolytes, those signals can't travel as readily and as efficiently down the central nervous system. So, for instance, your brain, if it doesn't get enough blood flow and oxygen, it sends a signal to the heart, and the heart picks up the patient, your blood pressure goes up. And that's why your blocker drugs for high blood pressure block that signal, just artificially lowers the number, doesn't address anything. And you're at risk when you do that. So, I mean, because that brain's still going to be sending a signal, and once you stop the drug, you could have a heart attack. So you want to address the issue, the underlying issue for the high blood pressure, not the symptom. Symptom management never going to get you better. Down the road, weakness accumulates and you have a total system collapse. So for electrolyte balances to help the body communicate, I like to use Celtic sea salt. 84 microminerals do not cause hypertension. And Celtic sea salt is not white. If you see it in the stores and it's white, it's been artificially processed. It's no good. So it's an off gray. And if you're interested, we have it. We get it from France because that's where they still harvest it the old-fashioned way, like they did in the time of Christ. And it's so good. Check it out. It's on the powerherbs.com website. It's in the product catalog, or you can simply call for more information or to order 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And I'm out of time. Sign up for the newsletters. They go out each week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.